one and done lesson today. That's the plan. No promises, but that's the plan. You always have to have a plan, right? And if you have a handout, good, because I included probably about 5 million Bible verses there for you to at least have as a reference. Maybe not that many, but we're going to get through a lot of scripture today. If you don't have time to turn to them all, at least that's why I have given you the passages. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us together. Thank you for this coming week and what you're going to do. And for the men that'll be coming to speak to us, pray that our hearts would be open, receptive, prepared, and ask, Lord, that you would use this lesson also actually to help us be better prepared for this week ahead. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So I was really trying to think and pray about what God would want me to teach on next. You know, we finished a series last time. And so this time I figured, you know, we're heading into preaching conference, so I'm going to teach a lesson on how to get the most out of a sermon. There you go, right there. How to get the most out of a sermon. Maybe you've never heard a whole lesson on that. I don't think I've ever taught a whole lesson on it before, but here we go. You know, there are times when we come to church and we don't seem to get a lot from a message. And, you know, could be a lot of different reasons why. I don't know if you've ever wondered why. Sometimes we're tempted to blame the preacher. Well, he must not have studied enough. He must not have put enough preparation in it. He wasn't interesting enough. He didn't tell enough jokes. He didn't keep me awake, or whatever it is. That argument kind of falls short because it's God's word that should be speaking to us. And it also falls short when you leave the sermon and service and someone else is saying, man, wasn't that good? And other people in the service are going, amen, praise the Lord. And you're like, what are you amening about? In reality, we ought to be able to get a blessing from God's word every time it's opened. Really. So let's consider some ways we can get something out of every sermon. Because we're going to have to be moving here. So number one, what to do before the sermon. So really, there's some things we need to do before the sermon comes, during the sermon, and after the sermon, believe it or not. And if we fulfill some of these things, it'll help us. Now, by the way, you're not going to be able to instill and put into practice every one of these ideas. But for every sermon you listen to. But if you get some of them going, it'll help you. It really will. So let's go and get on with it. What to do before the sermon? First of all, prepare your heart through prayer. Prepare your heart. Before you come into church, before you even left your house this morning, I hope that you prayed and asked God to speak to your heart. Confess any sin and ask God to forgive you. I mean, we're coming in to hear from God, but we're going to be asking, Lord, please give me a blessing. Please teach me. Please lead me. Please help me. Please convict me. Whatever it is, but if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He's not even going to hear that request. So we need to earnestly ask God to speak to our heart also. David said in Psalm 25:5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. I need truth, not guidance from social media. I need truth to teach me and to lead me and to guide me throughout each day with decisions that I have. And all of us know of some particular needs, spiritual needs that we have in our lives. Why not ask God, please meet those needs when I come to church sometime today. Give me something to help me with this problem I'm battling, I'm facing. Ask God to help. And don't be afraid to ask God to search your heart. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, familiar verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Those are hard words to sometimes pray. Try me. Put me to the test, Lord. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, show me what's in my heart. You already know. Show it. And lead me, guide me, and help me to go in the right way. And he'll help us. And then also, you know, when you're preparing your heart, pray for the preacher. to have a message from God. And I was praying, you know, throughout the week and even before for the men who are coming to preach. Last night I was again praying for Brother Starr. This morning I was praying for Brother Starr that he would have something for me, for our church. We need it. So prepare your heart through prayer. Secondly, go to church. You say, well, why would you say that? Live streaming a message is not the same as being in church. Now, we have shut-ins that aren't able to be in church. I'm thankful that they can live stream. But if you're able to go to church, go to church. Can God speak through his word when you're listening to a sermon at home? Yes. Can he speak when you're, maybe you're working out and you listen to a sermon. You're driving in a long commute or you're driving on a long trip and you listen to sermon after sermon. Can God speak? Yes, because it's his word. It's not a substitute for church, though. And when we come to church, God shows up in a special way. You say, how do you know that? Matthew 18:20. In context, it's actually talking about the church. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I, where? In the midst of them. So we're coming together today in church, and God's here. Now, God's everywhere, I know that, but we know he moves in a special way. Don't you get a blessing from being in church? I do, even when I don't feel like being in church. And don't look at me like you've never felt like that. And then you get to church, and you're like, I needed to be here. And it helps. So what to do before the sermon? Prepare your heart through prayer. Go to church. Thirdly, be rested. Easier said than done sometimes, right? It's difficult to pay attention when you haven't gotten proper sleep. It's just the way it is. There are some people that forever will be doing this in church. And you know who they are if you're a preacher. you see it. And you expect it. You just know that's what happens. They go into that sleep mode. Can I say this? A decision to stay up late is a decision to be less rested and ready for the next morning's sermon. Now, some people work shift work, whatever, and their schedules, they can't control those. I get that. But what we can control is our free time. If you're staying up playing video games or on social media or whatever you're doing, and that's going to detract from being ready and ready to go in church, I think that's probably not a good use of your time. Don't stay up late and worry about problems that you have. Go to bed and get some rest and with a heart of anticipation that God's going to meet your spiritual needs the next day. Get some sleep and seek God. Psalm 127, verse 2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Isn't that a blessing? We can rest. So be rested. Fourthly, don't ruin your appetite. How many of you, growing up, were scolded by your mother because you filled up on a snack or some kind of junk food, and when it came time to sit down for her nicely prepared meal that she spent a lot of time on, you weren't hungry for it? Oh, no, Ma, I'm not hungry. Why aren't you hungry? I'm just not hungry. Because you filled up on junk. And when the good stuff was there, you didn't have an appetite for it. That's what we do physically sometimes, isn't it? It's even worse when we do that spiritually. If we fill up with the world all week long, we've got carnal appetites that we've been fulfilling, listening to ungodly music, watching worldly movies, and whatever it is, laughing at dirty jokes, whatever it is, and we come to church, we're going to have this much of an appetite for godly things. It's just not there. It's not there. And that's why some people get so little from church. Oh, yeah, I just blame the pastor who's been praying and working hard all week long on his sermons. Just blame him when you have been living fulfilling your carnal appetites. Matthew 5, 6, still in the book, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we have a right appetite, if you and I come to church and just say this week, and every time you come to church, but this week during preaching conference, and you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you want to be better, you want a good life for the Lord, God will give you what you need. You won't leave the week empty. And that's a good promise, isn't it? But if at the end of the week, there's like, I guess it was all right. Preaching was okay. I mean, they could have done better. Then maybe we didn't have the right kind of appetite. Maybe we had spoiled our appetite. All right, so, hey, look at this. We're flying, right? We got through point number one already. We're going to do this, I think. Secondly, and those who are used to me teaching know what I'm talking about. So, all right. We looked, first of all, at what to do before the sermon. So hopefully, if you haven't done those things before this sermon or this morning's sermon, that you can at least do some of it in the sermons ahead. Secondly, what to do during the sermon. All right, first of all, anticipate a blessing. Really? Okay, if you've prayed with expectation that God would give you something, then you should actually be able to come in looking for that answer. Lord, please give me something. And I prayed with faith. I should be able to come in and say, all right, where is it? I asked, where is it? Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, give me that spiritual vision. It's hard, isn't it? You go and you're out in the world, you're working in the world all week long, and you're coming in, and it's like cobwebs, and you're like, oh, I'm just trying to get through this week, and I need something. Lord, open up my understanding. Open up my eyes. Let me see truth. Let me get renewed. Boy, if we come with that attitude, God's going to answer, and we can expect a blessing. God's word is powerful, and it has the answers for all of life's problems. That's why we ought to be in it individually every day, reading it ourselves, but then also praying that God would come and meet with our hearts in a special way when we come to church. And look for something to touch your heart. It's hard to get that when you come critical. When you come with a critical attitude toward the one that you know is going to be up in the pulpit that day. So as the sermon progresses, consider the truths of God's word and how to apply them to your life. So anticipate a blessing. Secondly, stay focused on the message. This is just practical stuff I'm giving you. There's nothing earth-shattering, okay? The cookies are always on the bottom shelf with me because although I can reach high, I just can't get them there. Stay focused on the message. You know, daydreaming can really prevent us from receiving something special from God. I know you've never done that. Your mind hasn't gone somewhere else already this morning, right? It does. It travels. It goes. Try to do something spiritual, and the flesh doesn't like it. When you're praying, all of a sudden you find yourself thinking about something else. It's like, wait, I thought I was praying. Yeah, you were 10 minutes ago. Now you've been thinking about planning your day or whatever you're going to be doing next. Let's get back and stay focused. Same thing. You know, something said from the pulpit, and then all of a sudden, you know, the preacher will get up and say, now don't look at your watch and wonder if your roast is burning. Well, guess what everyone's thinking about now? So, anyway, stay focused. Don't get distracted by disturbances around you. You know, sometimes where you sit in the auditorium is going to determine how well you pay attention. It's the way it is. Have you ever gotten irritated at someone in church? They're doing something, saying something, making some kind of noise, whatever it is, and that's all you can concentrate on for the rest of the sermon. It's like, why do they even come to church? Why do you come to church? Oh, yeah, we'll sit there. Man, it's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. That kid squirms too much. Why can't they do something? Can someone please give that person a cough drop? I mean, we've got all the, yeah, we just go on and on, and then we're not really focused on the message, are we? And God says, be still and know that I am God. Just be still. Calm your heart. In Luke 19, 47 and 8, speaking about Jesus, and he taught daily in the temple. Okay, so he's teaching daily in the temple. Then it goes on to say, all the people were very attentive to hear him. Wow, could you imagine if all the people who come to church, like in a Sunday school class or junior church class down in the other building, if they all paid attention? Wow, that'd be a miracle, right? What if we all came into church and were very attentive to hear the word of God? Woo. Do you think the people in the church might actually change? I think so. So stay focused on the message. Thirdly, try to determine the main idea of the sermon. Just don't sit there and say, I don't know what he's talking about. Well, engage the brain and try to think. We should always seek to understand what's being preached. Now, the theme may... Okay, just understand this. Different preachers have different styles and different ways of delivering and all that. I'm not going to get into much of it except to say this. Some guys might state the theme very clearly at the beginning. I'm going to preach about this today. And then there's other guys that you have no idea what he's talking about. He's just up there talking. It's interesting. And you have no idea. Okay, what are you trying to say? And then in the last 5 minutes, he just goes, he brings it all together, and he just smacks you right between the eyes. You're like, oh, that's what he was trying to say. You know, if you're used to the guy getting up there saying, this is what I'm going to say, and then he says it, and then at the end he says, this is what I've said, and then the next guy gets up, and he kind of doesn't tell you what he's saying until at the end, you can kind of get a little bit, oh, what's going on? Just realize something's there. Hang in there and pay attention and look for something from God. Amen? But try your best to determine the theme. Now, some speakers give a detailed outline. Some guys don't. So be more concerned about the truth than the presentation. Because you could be sitting there like, he's not giving point number one and point number two and point number three like brother so-and-so does, and I'm trying to take notes. Doesn't he know I'm here to take notes? No, hopefully you're there to get your heart stirred, amen? And so what we need to remember is we need inspiration more than information. We need God to deal with our heart. So a good sermon is more for your heart than it is for your head. So we need to get that out of our mind that I've got to be intellectually challenged. No, we should be, but that's not always what we're here for. We should be here to get our heart spoken to. So don't get frustrated because you can't follow an outline or whatever. Just hang in there and focus. Fourthly, yield your will. Okay, like Paul learned to ask this question in Acts 9:8. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? All right, Lord, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm hearing this preaching. What do you want me to do? Here it is. What do you want me to do? And sometimes we don't ask that because we don't have a heart to want to do what he wants us to do. Sometimes we come even in prayer with, Lord, bless what I'm going to do. And we try to convince God to accept our plan instead of be willing to follow his plan. But it's always good to yield your will. And go along with this is the next point. Accept the truths being preached. Do you know that truth hurts? And we don't like hearing it sometimes. We don't. We don't like constructive criticism. But sometimes we even resist the truth. We begin to make excuses for what we've done. We blame others. We even justify ourselves. And God's word is very convicting. It just stabs us sometimes. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 23, 29, familiar verse, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" You're like, yeah, it's a great verse. It is a great verse. But fire burns. Ever burn yourself? I don't like burns. Hammers crush. Have you ever hit yourself with a hammer? Oh, there have been times, I remember out when I was in the mission field. I'm just working on something, and I had the big hammer, and I let it go, and it went. And I lost, you know, a little tip there of my thumb, and I'm like, yeah! You know, first it was a silent scream, and then it was, yeah! You know, and there's blood squirting all, sorry. It's like, yeah! Hammers can do a lot of damage. And that's what God's word is like. It's like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And it's fine when it afflicts someone else, but we don't like it when that word burns us and bruises us. But that's what it does. And don't forget, when God wounds us, he's also willing to heal us back up. How did the people respond to the strong sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2? They gladly received his word, according to verse 41. They gladly received. Now, he let them have it, and they gladly received his word. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm getting it, I'm not always like, oh, thank you, this is really good. But we should. And if you tend to get angry at strong preaching, convicting preaching, maybe adopt the attitude that David had. And what was that? It's found in Psalm 141, verse 5. He said, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head." Let the righteous smite me. Wow, then again, that's another hard one, isn't it, to accept. Another idea is take notes. You don't necessarily have to take all the sermon notes. Some people like to do that. I mean, I've got somewhere back at home, like stacks and stacks and stacks of sermon notebooks. You know, sometimes now I just take a few thoughts down here or there. However, record main points of the sermon, key passages that you can go back and look up later, especially thoughts where God really spoke to you about. And, you know, because it's good to remember. If God speaks to you about something, isn't it important to remember it? So write it down. That'll help. God told Jeremiah, "Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." That's Jeremiah 30, verse 2. So it's good to write down things. Next, if you have your outline, it's letter G, by the way. This one's a good one. Look beyond the messenger. Look beyond the messenger. Don't follow personalities. There will always be some styles of preaching that you're going to like more than others. There'll be some personalities that you're more in tune with than others. Don't compare one preacher to another and think one's more spiritual because you like how he sounds better than someone else. Don't walk into the auditorium and say, "Oh, it's Brother So-and-so tonight." Yeah, you laugh because, yep. Don't get distracted by a preacher's style, his idiosyncrasies, his mispronunciations, his repetitions, his use of filler words, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. And you know what? And you know what? And you know what? Whatever it is. And then you start taking, you know, I'm going to write down every, I'm going to say hash mark for every time he says this. You're going to get a lot out of the sermon, right? we're such fallen creatures, are we not? God uses all of his called men in different ways, but he uses them all. Good reminder, 1 Corinthians 1, 27, 28. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So foolishness is actually not a bad thing. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. So remember that you're looking for a message from God, not from a man. And the last thing on that point is respond to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts through the Word of God. So respond to him. When he speaks, speak back. Confess a sin. Change an attitude. Make a commitment to trust the Lord for strength or to follow his leading or obey a particular command, whatever it is. And in fact, that's why we have invitations at the end of preaching times. So people can come. God spoke during the message. People can come and kneel quietly and pray to the Lord about what he spoke to them about before they are off to rush to do whatever they're doing. Sunday night after church to get pizza with friends. And then the last thing that's on your mind is what God just spoke to your heart about. We have that opportunity to come and respond right away. Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Then, thirdly, what to do after the sermon. So there's some things we should do before the sermon, during the sermon, then after the sermon. When the preaching's over, believe it or not, there's still work to do. First of all, thank God for speaking to you, because you've prayed that he would. You had anticipation, and he did. So thank him. Always express your gratitude when God speaks to you through his word, even when he shows you something and convicts you about your sin. Be thankful that he cares enough to point out those errors to you. It's not always comfortable, but it's important. Psalm 118, verse 21 goes along with this thought. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. I'll pray. You heard me. You answered my prayer. You spoke to me. And I'm going to praise you for that. Secondly, review the sermon. Review the sermon. Before you go to bed or the next morning, whatever, at some point, take some time, look at the notes or look at the passage that the sermon was about, and allow God to continue to speak to your heart, especially if he spoke to you in a special way and you made a decision or whatever. You don't want to forget what he's spoken to you about. And so Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Meditate on the Lord and what he speaks to you about in the night watches. Before you close your eyes and sleep, say, Lord, thank you for speaking, and think about it. Take some time. Thirdly, adjust your prayer list as needed. Now, every time you hear a sermon, you're not going to have to go home and change and add something to your prayer list, but sometimes you should. God really dealt with you about a weak spot, an area in your life that is deficient, and you know he put his finger on you. Don't forget about that. Write that down in the personal section in your prayer list. Lord, I need to fix this, and I'm going to need to continue to focus on this, and you're going to have to make it a matter of prayer. There's some things you just have to pray through. And Paul exhorted the Colossian believers in Colossians 4:2. He says, continue in prayer. It's not one and done. I prayed, and now I'm all good with this. Oh, there's some things keep cropping up that we have to keep dealing with. So keep praying about it. Pray it through. Continue in prayer. Fourthly, dig a little deeper. When God challenges you through a sermon, take some extra time. Get into the Bible, maybe study that topic or that passage out in a little more detail. In some cases, sermons only scratch the surface of important things that God's trying to get a hold of our hearts about. There might be some root of some big problems we have, and it's down deep, and we got to get into the Word and keep looking. And oftentimes, we need to deal thoroughly with something that God points out in our life. Study to show yourself approved. And then fifthly here, take action. Put into practice what you learn. The sooner you obey the Lord, the better. Don't put it off, right? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's James 1, 22, and then verse 25. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed? Do what God tells you to do. Then next, share with others. One great way to remember something is to tell someone else about what you learned. It helps reinforce it. Talk to a family member, your spouse, whatever, about what God's taught you. You can even use some thoughts in your family devotions. Pass those ideas along to your kids, whatever. But talking about what you have learned will also help you to become more accountable because, you know, you've made this decision and now you've told other people what God's taught you, so they're expecting you to do something about this. You go home and say, yeah, honey, Lord really spoke to me about having a bad attitude. And she's like, good. Or whatever it is, you know. And so now it'll help you. I was like, yeah, I just said that he spoke to me. I probably ought to do something about this. All right, last point. We're making it right here. Now, this you'll like this one. Turn off the oven. So what on earth does that have to do with getting the most out of a sermon? The most popular meal on Sunday is roast preacher. Turn off the oven. If you are prone to criticize, when you go to church, you're going to look for all the things that you disagree about with that guy instead of getting a blessing from God's word. Remember that the preacher has actually a difficult job. He's got to meet everyone's spiritual needs in the church, and he knows he's running the risk of offending people, and people are going to be angry at him because he got up and said, thus saith the Lord. And he's going to do it anyway, if he's worth his salt. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13 gives us a really good charge. And Paul is speaking to the church here. He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Those are the preachers. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Good passage to go back and chew on for a while. In other words, come to church, focus on the goodness of God, not just the frailties of the messenger. So as a preacher prepares a sermon, we need to prepare our hearts to receive it. And we all have a responsibility before, during, and after a sermon. And if we put the work in, God will give us a blessing. Father, we thank you for this time and those who have come to church today. And we pray that we'd get a special blessing from your word. Thank you that you're so good, you're so loving, and you've given us clear commands, and I pray that we'd put to practice what you give to us. Lord, I know I gave a whole lot of information, but I pray that some of these things will stick and we can put some of them into our lives even this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.